last night watching Knicks Hawks made me hate basketball. I mean, it was so bad to watch it. It was just really, really bad basketball. I mean, especially early with all the fouls that were being called. And then the Knicks have a big lead, and then they just kind of let the Hawks back in the game.
They did win, though.
They did.
That's half their wins this year, the Hawks.
That's right, because the Hawks are terrible.
Right.
And there were some positives. Like, Emmanuel Mudiay is clearly now put Trey Burke on the bench.
Ntilikina had a decent game, finally, last
He did,
night.
And I thought he hit one of the biggest shots in the game when the Hawks were cutting into the lead. I think it was down to six.
Right before he fouled out. He fouled out with about 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, and Mudiay had a big offensive rebound that led to the Frank three. So I agree with you. I think it was a big bounce-back game by Frank. And they did win. And if I think we're still at the point in the season which you're rooting for wins, especially when you're facing the Hawks. I don't know if we're in full tank mode quite yet.
No.
But and when they play the Bulls and they play the Hawks the last two games, it's just been very difficult to watch. It's just bad basketball.
Well, I mean, look, they're a young team. I mean, really, the team is just basically just a bunch of kids. I mean, you know, when Cantor and Hardaway, you're old, you know, the old guys on a team at 26.
Yeah, no, you're
By
right.
the way, Cantor had another very good game. I tell you, you know, if this guy could play, and I know he's kind of a dinosaur because he's a low post center and all of that, but the guy, he's a double-double every time. He really is.
The biggest problem with Enes Kanter.
You don't play defense.
He doesn't play defense. And so you have to make this decision. I call it pulling a Kendall Gill. Okay, what I mean by that is Kendall Gill, what would you say about Kendall Gill? How would you define him?
I thought he was a solid, very solid NBA player.
Okay, he was okay. Right, he was okay.
Solid player.
He had a year with the Nets in which he averaged, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I may be a little bit inaccurate, about 22, 5, and 5. That's what he averaged, which is ridiculous. That's great. That's awesome. It's an all-star.
Right.
The Nets lost 50-plus games. There are guys who will put up numbers on bad teams.
No, I get that. When and I cited Charles Smith when he was with the Clippers and then Knicks traded for him. No, I understand.
And then there are guys that when Kanter was on a good team, he was out of the rotation because he can't defend the pick and roll late in the game.
He can't.
So Kanter will put it. He kills my team. He puts up numbers. You're right. He's a dinosaur. He can play with the back to his basket. His back to the basket. He's a good rebounder. He puts up these sexy numbers. When the Knicks are good, which could be next year, I don't know. Could be. You never know. I don't know if he's – I don't think he's a part of this team.
No, I don't think he is either. But I'm just saying – but, I am giving him his props. The guy does – you know, like if you do fantasy basketball, and I think that's the one you don't do.
That's true.
Which I'm stunned that you don't.
But, yeah.
And I'm sure there is big fantasy basketball leagues out there. He'd be a guy that's giving you numbers all the time.
Here's how you play fantasy basketball in a fun way, daily. It only works daily at a FanDuel, a thing like that. Yearlies are horrible.
Yeah.
They're just not the same.
Yeah.
And why dailies are good is you play the matchups. You just play the matchups.
Okay.
And I think that makes it more of a challenge. Like, oh, okay, so this team's playing that team. I'll play this guy. There's a back-to-back. I'm not going to play this guy. So you're right. On the right night, Kanter's great. I'll give Kanter this compliment because, look, he is performing. I think he's been a good sport. I do.
Yeah, coming off the bench.
Yeah, because he could easily say, are you kidding me?
Right.
I'm the second best player on this team. I should be starting and playing 35 minutes. I should demand the ball late in the game. And Kanter's been a very good sport, and he says all the right things. And for that, he hasn't been a problem in the room, and I think that's important.
No, he hasn't been.
But I don't think he's a part of your future.
Yeah, no, I don't think he is either. No, I mean, I'm not saying he is, but I'm just giving him his credit for, you know, because he does put the numbers up every night. I mean, he's a double-double guy every night.
Absolutely. He does, doing it off the bench. Yeah. But I thought Frank bouncing back was big.
Hardaway had a big game, especially from the foul line. He went 16 for 20 from the foul line.
And that was something the Knicks did very well because it seems for years the Knicks never get to the free throw line.
Right.
They always are in the bottom five, bottom seven in the league. It's just getting to the free throw line. And they actually did that a lot last night. They were able to get to the line. Hardaway, for the Knicks to win any kind of game, Hardaway needs to be very productive.
Yeah.
He is their best player.
Yeah, what do you have, 34?
Yeah, and you saw that last night.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the guy I really like a lot, too, is this Trier.
Mm.
Trier's not bad.
No, I mean,
they found this guy, undrafted free agent, whatever he was, out of Arizona. This guy's got game, man.
He definitely is.
Yeah, he's a quality offensive player, this guy.
I mean, in isolation, he's dangerous. He defends. He's very active defensively.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. And it's about watching these guys. Now, I forgot about this, but last year, the Board of Governors in the NBA
approved. This is the lottery thing. I had heard. It's funny. Your buddies were talking about it. Your two net buddies.
Who are my buddies?
There, Billy and Mike.
Oh, they were talking about it? That's probably because I brought it up to them.
Right. Well, maybe that's why.
Well, because last time I'm watching the game, and I don't mean to be a jerk about it. Trust me, I've watched plenty of bad basketball. I'm a net fan.
Wow.
And I was just, it was really tough to watch. And I started thinking, didn't they change the lottery system? It just popped into my head.
But you got to remind me what they did because I'm really not familiar with it.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to take this because it could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing.
But they're not going to win it anyway, but go ahead.
They now have said, the way it used to be is if you finish with the worst record in the league, your odds of winning the lottery were 25%.
Right, with the highest of anybody.
Yeah, then it would go down to like 17%. It would go down.
Oh, that's right. So the top three are all going to have the same percentage.
Exactly. So that's change number one. If you're in the bottom three, you have the same percentage at 1, 2, 3, or 4, and that's the other change. The lottery used to be you have a chance to jump to 1, 2, 3, and then after that, everyone goes in reverse order. Now it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Which means if you finish with the worst record in the league, you could fall down to 5, potentially 6 or 7. So there's also a greater jump back. If you finish with the worst record, so right now the team with the worst record is the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're the number one bad team.
Okay.
Their odds of winning the lottery are only 14% as opposed to 25%. So they've evened out the odds a little bit so that you're not trying to be the worst team in the league. If you finish with the worst record, the second worst record, or the third worst record, your odds of picking 1, 2, 3, 4 are all exactly the same. Mm. So it's a good thing if the Knicks finish with the third worst record in the league because then, hey, you got the same odds as 1 and 2.
Right, right.
If the Knicks flame out, and I don't think they will, I think you'd agree, they're not going to finish with the worst record in the league.
Probably not.
So the team with the worst record in the league is the team that kind of gets hurt the most by it. So they evened out the odds a little bit. If you finish, and here's another example. If you're fourth, you're not 1, 2, or 3, your odds of winning go from 14% to 12.5. It's not exactly a big jump.
Right.
So they've tried to, and I'm not saying it's going to work, but they've tried to eliminate the idea of tanking. So as you're watching these games, and I think this will be more relevant when we get to February and you're really, because you're going to be thinking, I know you, I've seen it. By February, you're going to start to say, we've got to lose this game.
Right.
Did you think about
that? Right.
And I don't blame you, by the way.
No, well.
But it's good to know that finishing 1, 2, or 3 doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
From a percentage standpoint.
Look, it doesn't. The Knicks will never win the lottery again, in my mind. Never, ever, ever. So I don't even think along those lines. They never even move up a slot when they're in the lottery. They move back.
But, Joe.
Last year, I think they stayed the same. They never, ever move up in the lottery. Ever, ever,
But think about it. This year... This is Zion Williamson.
No, I understand, does that mean you're going to get him?
No, but if you did, I mean, geez.
Well, I mean, it's so a similar jealous. Feel to 85 when Ewing was, like, clearly the guy.
So maybe you do.
Well.
Maybe you're going to get this guy. I will be so jealous if you
don't. Don't worry. Calm down.
No, I know. I'm not there yet.
Relax.
I'm a little relaxed. So those are the new lottery odds. So do you like it in general? It's not a big deal.
I hate the lottery to begin with. I mean, so, you know my feeling on that.
Yeah.
So,
but they moved it in more of a direction where,
right? I understand.
You know, they're trying to take away tanking, and I think teams are still, if they're not putting the players on the floor, they're not putting the players on the floor. What's odd is that early on, and it's early, and I think a lot of things are going to change. Two of the teams that are in the bottom three are teams that thought they would be better. Number one being the Washington Wizards, who are just
ready to dismantle a team. There.
Well, it's going to be tough. We were going through John Wall's contract off air. John Wall makes $18 million this year.
Right.
Next year he makes 37,
right.
Then 42, no. Then 45. 45!
Come on.
$45 million.
The NBA salaries. You talk about it. You say whatever you want. You can talk about baseball forever about the salary. The NBA salaries are so out of whack. It's just it's disgraceful.
I will.
And it really is.
I though think, and I think you'd agree, that LeBron, Kevin Durant,
Steph
Curry deserve every dime.
The big guys.
Yes.
But, I mean, come on. John Wall's a very good player. $45 million a year. Come on.
Really? And you have to start questioning if John Wall is a part of the problem down there. Now, obviously, him and Bradley Beal hate each other. It could be one of them, both of them, all of them. I don't know. I don't know what's going on down there, but they stink. And the other team is Cleveland, who I think
They're horrible.
They thought, not that bad. They're awful. And with Kevin Love hurt, they really have no shot. So we'll see. Right now, the Knicks are 8th as far as from the bottom. So they're not that bad, but it's still early, still very close. A lot of things are going to change.
Drop further, but they still won't win the lottery.
I'm glad you have the confidence.
No, I have none.
I understand.